Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across that Spiz Grizz network. He is DRS, that's Donnie Wrightside. I am BSS, that's Ben Stevens. We get you set for a new week. It's new week, new money. That includes the Olympiad over in Paris. Continuing as we speak, we've got five swimming finals on this Monday afternoon in the American opener in women's basketball. Team USA and Japan with the United States, a hefty favorite to win its eighth consecutive gold medal and a 22.5-point favorite in the opener against the Japanese. We'll go all around Major League Baseball. 12 games in this MLB slate. 22 clubs in action. A doubleheader that gets us started early with a new Baltimore Oriole making his debut inside Camden Yards. That's Zach Eflin for the O's. Plenty of baseball breakdowns come your way in this third and final hour.
Yeah, Heel versus Wheeler tonight in Philadelphia. So we have a pretty good card for a Monday slate to try to get excited for. And also this week, look at that, Ben, the month of August, as we're going to flip that calendar over before you know it. It's going to, leaves are going to be changing. Pumpkin spice is going to be out there. We're going to be rocking sweatpants and hoodies out here in these streets and maybe even on this telecast. Never know. You never know.
Oh, is that, you think that would be management approved, a hoodie under the jacket?
Yeah. Yes.
I think
like
so,
that's
right?
Very stylish. Yeah, very stylish.
Very stylish.
A little bit hot, though.
I'll probably,
like, I don't know how you get that. Get that in the studio, like 95 degrees, rocking a hoodie.
Not here, brother.
Man.
There'd be more glisten on this forehead than you see even on a daily basis. Not
tabs.
A chance.
Yeah.
Get the makeup out, get the paper towels. Maybe we'll break it out during the football season on college football today and pro football today. Those are starting pretty soon, I am sure. So let's go back to the opening weekend of Olympic action over at the Summer Games in Paris. Of course, all eyes yesterday on Team USA men's basketball in its opener against Serbia. A dominant performance over Nikola Jokic and the Serbians, 110-84. Main storylines that emerged: the impressive opener for the United States. LeBron James and Kevin Durant both balling out. KD a perfect 5 of 5 from 3, 8 of 8 from the floor in the opening half. Game high 23 points in his first game. LeBron James, the flag bearer for the Americans, 21 points, 9 dimes, 7 boards. The other storyline, despite a 26-point victory for the United States in its first game in Paris, who did not play? That was Jason Tatum. Here's head coach Steve Kerr talking about the decision to keep Tatum on the bench for all 40 minutes.
You guys play your best game of the whole summer to this point, but you didn't get to use Jason Tatum, who's obviously one of the best players in the league. Obviously, that's one of the hard things to do in your role.
Yeah, it's tough, but Jason handled it really well. I talked to him today before the game that it may play out this way, just with Kevin coming back and the lineups that I wanted to get to. But that'll change. You know, Jason's going to play. Every game's going to be different based on matchups. He's a total pro. He's, you know, first-team All-NBA 3 years in a row. I felt like an idiot not playing him. But in a 40-minute game, you can't play more than 10. You really can't. And, you know, so I think he's an amazing guy, great player, and handled it beautifully. And, you know, he'll be back out there next game.
Quote, I felt like an idiot not playing him. That was Steve Kerr, the head coach of United States men's basketball, in his decision to not play Jason Tatum. So, Donnie, we'll have our reactions to what Kerr had to say in just a moment, but we also want to hear from the people and their reaction to Jason Tatum riding the pine all Sunday afternoon long. Is it a big deal, or are we just looking for some summer conjecture? That was the question to all of you in Fade the Public. At SportsGrid on Twitter, was it a big deal that Steve Kerr did not play Jason Tatum in Team USA's first games at the 33rd Olympiad? Yes, no, kind of. Got more than 200 votes, pretty evenly sparsed out, but the no takes the mantle, nearly 47%.
And by the way, we listened to what actually Steve Kerr was saying there, which actually made it worse for me, because I guess you could just play dumb, like, look, I was just in the middle of the game. Like, I didn't understand. Like, I didn't know guys weren't getting in. I thought he was in already. He could have made something up. But the fact of the matter is Steve Kerr actually brought up the point, like, yeah, I spoke to him before the game. KD's coming back, so I really don't know if you're going to get in. Which, it's not, like, if you would have said that about Derek White, who's a very good NBA player, I'd say, yeah, Derek White didn't get in. What's the big deal? But Jason Tatum not getting in a basketball game where everybody was playing and playing big minutes because a guy that barely practiced was going to light it on fire and say, I just can't find any room for you in a game. That's very embarrassing. Not from a Kerr perspective, but a Jason Tatum perspective where I couldn't get, like, honestly, like, you walk up and down the sideline as a coach, you look over like, there's Tatum here. Oh, wait, oh, you haven't been in the game. Get in the game right here. He went the entire time, halftime. Nobody, not a coach, told you, hey, by the way, Tatum hasn't even gotten in yet. I don't know what's going on here, to be honest.
Listen, there are a bunch of assistants and support staff as well.
Millions.
To say, hey, Steve, Jason hasn't played. Eric Spoelstra, Jesus. Mark Few, Tyronn Lue is out there for Team USA as well. I think one of the reasons this almost strikes a comical chord is because of Jason Tatum and his prestige, perhaps, in the NBA. Many called him out for being corny as all get out after the NBA Finals and all that he did. Of course, from a perspective of hardware, it was an individually disappointing postseason for Jason Tatum. That would never be admitted, of course. They won championship number 18, the most ever in NBA history, were thoroughly dominant, and Jason Tatum played a large role in that, especially into the Eastern Conference and NBA Finals. But the funny thing to me, at least, because when a team wins, and Boston has always been a winning franchise in the NBA, and when they win a Larry O'Brien trophy, it is natural then to try to tear them down if you are not a Boston backer and a fan of the Seas. The funny thing then is, from a narrative perspective, there are three Celtics on Team USA. One of them is not the NBA Finals and Eastern Conference Finals MVP, Jaylen Brown, that has led to its own conversation. And the two guys out there yesterday on behalf of Boston, Derek White played many minutes, and Drew Holiday was the team's third leading scorer with 15 points in the opener against Serbia. And the reason I laugh is because we talked about this at the end of the NBA season in the early odds next year. Jason Tatum, one of the 10 best prices to win NBA MVP at 28-1. Donnie and I both said, how do you bet it? The guy was the best player on a team that won 64 games, the NBA's best, and didn't even sniff the MVP conversation. He's the NBA, Jason Tatum is, the NBA Finals MVP frontrunner already for a Boston team that has a drastically short price to win championship number 19, its second consecutive. How do you bet it? The guy was the best player on the team that won the NBA Finals this year. That's what makes it all funny in a way. Maybe that's not the best word, but at least in my estimation, with Jason Tatum sitting for all 40 minutes.
Like, I don't even think anybody would have cared if Tatum came in and played like 3 or 4 minutes in the game. Like, it wouldn't even have been a story elsewhere. But just the fact that he did not play at all, like, the jokes are starting to write themselves at this point. Like, where's the respect for me? Like, I'm the best player on the best team in the NBA, and I'm getting overlooked when other guys on my team are getting major minutes. Like, what happens if it would have been like Steve Kerr's like, oh, you know what? Forgot to put Steph Curry in the game today. Like, he's not. That was a clear bypass here because, again, nobody mentioning anything at any time. And again, when you call timeout and you get in the huddle, you look around. superstar after superstar after superstar. And also, he was playing in these international friendlies. It wasn't like he wasn't in a rotation. Yeah. And one guy comes back, it's like, oh, one of the best players in the NBA, he's not even going to get a minute in a blowout victory. You could have just made some. Teams do this all the time. Hey, by the way, tweaked his ankle a little bit in warm-ups here just to cover it up so it doesn't look so bad. But they basically, no. We talked about this. He wasn't going to play, and I didn't play him. Maybe I'll play him in the next game.
He was also asked after the game if he was sick. He was like, nah, I was ready to go. More DEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Team USA men's basketball off to a great start yesterday. 26-point win in the opener against Serbia, covering as a 13.5-point favorite. Minus 550 is the price on the Americans to win their fifth consecutive gold at the Olympic Games. Who's better than that? Team USA women's basketball. They've won 7 consecutive gold medals. The hefty favorite to make it 8 in a row. And a 22.5-point favorite in their Olympic opener against Team Japan today. I'm mad at myself, DRS. 19.5, the spread when we looked at this line ahead of the opening ceremonies on Friday. We have said it often. Team USA will not be judged by winning gold. They will be evaluated by how much they hammer teams. The international gap in women's basketball still much wider at this moment than what we see on the men's side. 19.5 on Friday. What CLV we could have had if we bet the number there under 20?
Yeah, 22.5 now, 160.5, the price point here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It should be a runaway. And also, the same thing, Ben, that I talked about with Team USA from the men's side. Show up in that first game, show your dominance, send that message to the rest of the Olympic field that you're not playing any games at this point. So I take a look at this and say, we need a 20-plus point victory just to set that tone. Not what everybody's like, hey, looks like they might be beatable. The WNBA All-Stars handled their business going up against Team USA. End it after this. We don't want to have any talk where maybe teams can approach the women's team and say, you know what, we're going to win the gold medal, not you. Stop the madness. Blow them out today. Blow away Japan.
Absolutely so. And again, Team USA is going to be fine. The last time they did WNBA versus USA at the All-Star break in the W was 2021. WNBA won. What happened for Team USA? They won a gold medal easily for their 7th in a row. Team WNBA All-Star would be maybe right behind Team USA in a gold medal contention standpoint. If Team USA was gone and they entered Team WNBA All-Stars as Team USA, they might be minus 2850 to win a gold medal, not the minus 3000 price that Team USA is as of this moment. DRS, you see 22.5, and those, of course, the odds for where things stand from the perspective in the gold medal hunt. I do believe it is worth noting some of those props that are out there look juicy. Sabrina Ionescu, 9.5 points, plus money to the over. Asia Wilson and Brianna Stewart, by far the highest points props in this game. Wilson, 20.5. Yeah, that's spot on. Stewie, who was about the only good performer for Team USA in that WNBA All-Star game in Phoenix a couple of weekends ago, 16.5. Yeah, that makes sense, too. But Sabrina Ionescu has been one of the best players in the entire WNBA all season long, but especially in the month of July. 9.5? I know there's a lot of mouths to feed on this team, but I'm going over that points prop.
And by the way, you take a look at Ionescu there, 3-point shots made. It is a little juicy here, over 1.5 at a minus 140 price. So if you look at that 9.5, it's almost like saying, well, is she going to make four 3-point shots to actually get that? No doubt in my mind, she should be able to make 2 3-point shots in this game because the Olympic game, and again, it's, look, 3-point shooting, obviously, international game, pro game here in the United States, similar there, but more of an issue or sort of an impact from that 3-point line on the international game. That's the way I look at it. So if I'm approaching this game, I want 3-point shots here. Ionescu over 1.5. You take a look there. Brianna Stewart over 1.5. And then also Taurasi. It just depends on how much juice you want to pay at that point. But Ionescu, she's going to shoot more than 3 or 4 3-point shots here. She should be able to make 2 of those here, I would assume.
I would keep an eye on Alyssa Thomas as well. Yep. 4.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, of course, for the Connecticut Sun. She has the most triple-doubles in the history of the WNBA. She has double-digit triple-doubles, the only player that has more than 5 in her career. She will do everything for the Americans. And, of course, a send-off for Diana Taurasi, the most decorated women's basketball player in Olympic history. 5 gold medals, looking for number 6. Has been a part of Team USA women's basketball since the 2004 Summer Games in Athens. Diana Taurasi, who had 14 points in Phoenix in the All-Star Game, expected to do a ton at the age of 42. 9.5 her points prop. She is perhaps the most decorated women's basketball player in the history of the sport, collegiately, professionally. Here she will be in Paris, of course, for Team USA as well.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. It should be a nice little blowout scenario, coronation. And by the way, is anybody even going to come close, Ben? Like, if I had to tell you right now and say, you know what, each and every game, does somebody get within single digits of Team USA winning? What would you say to that from here on out? Because you figure there's going to be some adversity. But I got a good feeling, like, Team USA embarrassed in that startup matchup, I guess you could say, in the All-Star game, going up against the WNBA All-Stars. I think we might be on a mission right now for the Team USA women's team.
That's what I can't wait to see, Donnie, is how much they beat everybody down by. The odds aren't – or actually, we do have the odds there, right? Spain 24-1, France 25-1, Australia 30-1, Belgium at 35-1. You can see how drastically long the odds are. Even compare it to the men's gold medal race, where Canada has always hovered around a 10-1 price, now in three digits alongside the Americans. It's just so drastically different here. You would have to assume, based on the odds, that Spain is a favorite to medal, France a favorite to medal as well. You would think, let's say a gold medal game is Team USA versus the host nation in France. It's going to be a French crowd. It's going to be crazy. I would still think the Americans are at least a 15-point favorite, be my guess.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you there. I think, again, double digits all the way through, and I'm expecting – and sometimes it's unfair to say, let me just get a quick glimpse of game number one, but we told you before the men started, let me see what they do against Serbia. It looks like they're in gear right now, and Kevin Durant's back, and everybody's healthy, and it looks great at this point. I want to see the Team USA women's side of it really get off to that jump. Like, give me a start of like 40-11 in this game at one point, right? Like, whoa, like they're really in it. Let's see what they could do.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be a lot of conversation around if that happens. And, of course, those will make comparisons to the players left at home during this long Olympic break. But we just focus on what Team USA women's basketball can do in its hunt for an 8th consecutive gold medal. Diana Taurasi, again, would become just the 3rd ever Olympian to win 6 gold medals in a single event. That would be crazy. Asia Wilson, with the Olympic glasses at the opening ceremonies, the hefty favorite at minus 180 to be that the MVP of Olympic basketball. Baseball breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A few times entering this past weekend in Major League Baseball, we previewed a weekend set with the caption, World Series Preview. In Houston, it was the Astros and the Dodgers. The Astros continue to play good ball. They take 2 of 3 against LA. In Philadelphia, it was the Phils and the Guardians. Cleveland, the best record in the American League. They won the rubber match yesterday and the weekend series then, of course, against the Fightins. But Philadelphia is still the best record and the most wins, 65-40 in all of MLB. World Series preview again for the Phils this week as they host the New York Yankees. Philadelphia and Zach Wheeler, minus 142 as the home favorites in the opener today against the Pinstripes. Luis, don't call him, heel on the bump on the other side for New York. The over-under is 9. What is your expectation, DRS, in the opener today in Philly?
Better pitcher on the mound, probably can agree, would be Zach Wheeler of the Philadelphia Phillies here. But the lineup here for the Phillies needs to get in gear to sort of match what we've been seeing for the Yankees, or at least from yesterday. But if we're looking at temperatures here at Citizens Bank Park tonight, 85 degrees, wind blowing out the dead center field about 8 to 9 miles an hour. So we should be able to have the opportunity to get some home runs. Now, the question is going to be, we liked what we saw to Zach Wheeler coming out of that mini break for himself, skipping that final start of the regular season, the first part of the regular season. Great. Then obviously the All-Star break, then coming back, giving a little bit extra break, and he was fine, giving going seven innings, didn't give up any earned runs here. So if I'm looking at that nine price, to be honest, the way the Phillies are at the plate right now, feast or famine, he has bounced back into form, which you like to see. So I'm leaning more towards an under, which is tough with those two lineups in that small ballpark, and I just explained to you how the temperatures are. But Zach Wheeler should have a very good effort tonight. That's the best of the closer coming over, should be available for the Phillies today. That's a full bullpen in a game they absolutely must have. I do think the Phillies are the better side tonight, but not really loving laying a minus 150 price or higher the way the Phillies are at the plate. So probably a better look under nine, even if that's a hard pill to swallow when you're looking at these two lineups in this ballpark. I just feel like there's going to be less runs here, maybe a 4-3 type ball game when it's all said and done.
And the Phils haven't been sharp since the All-Star break, even really before it, losing a set against the Oakland Athletics. So this could be another statement awaiting in Philadelphia. But the Phils are not really struggling with anything. Still a three-game advantage over the Dodgers for the top spot in the National League. Skene's Day number 13. That's XII in the history of Major League Baseball. On the road in Houston. And the Buccos are booked as a road favorite. That's because Paul Skenes is getting the start, although the money line, very different than what you saw right there. It was minus 154, now down to just a minus 132 price. The over-under 7.5 in H-Town. Of course, Skenes, in his last start, pitched into the ninth inning, only allowed two earned runs, but did suffer the first defeat of his MLB career in 12 starts. 6-1 now with a 1.93 ERA.
Yeah, we got a mismatch on the mound today, no doubt about it. So it's kind of interesting where we saw that price point here, Ben, and that minus 150's price, you know, cut down by 20, 30 cents at some outlets. Because you look at Skenes, by far the best pitcher on the card today. Last 60 days, how about an XFIP minus number 57, an ERA of 1.84, a CR number of 2.37. He really fits the bill. But I think the reason why is they're on the road against a better overall team. So just like in that last game, you can get an unbelievably good Skenes performance, but that doesn't mean it's going to match up with the plate and they're going to back him here. You might even get seven innings pitched out of Skenes, 101 pitches where that game is 1-1 saying, what more do I have to do? And then watch the Pittsburgh Pirates lose on the back end of that bullpen. But I still would back Skenes in this spot because I do think he's the much better pitcher on the mound today. And they do have a decent lineup overall, talking about Pittsburgh, how they're shaping up. So for my money, it's going to be Skenes once again. But if it's seeing that the betting public is saying, you know what, I don't know if I trust a full game here of the Pittsburgh Pirates, I can't blame you because they're on the road against Houston and they're a heavy favorite. I still think Skenes going to be able to get the job done. That's the way I'd bet it.
7.5 is the K prop. We'll talk about it with Tom Vecchio in our prop perspective up next, but I can't believe it's remained at 7.5, and the over has plus money. Now we go to New York. Citi Field, the site for a matchup between two wild card contenders in either league. The Twins pay a visit to the Mets. New York booked as a slight home favorite, minus 118. Total stands at 8.5. What do you like in the opener between the Mets and the Twins?
Yeah, I think it's a cheap price there to take the Mets at a minus 112, even though we do like the way the Twins have been playing. But if we're just lining up pitchers going against pitchers, Quintana's going to be on the mound. He actually has some okay splits over the past 30 days, which is something to watch. And also a Minnesota Twins lineup that hasn't been all that effective, Ben, against left-handed pitching. Quickly flip it over to the New York Mets. The lineup does match up very well against the right-handed Simeon Woods Richardson here. I get a light lean here towards the Mets in this game tonight.
Prop perspective on a Monday with Tom Vecchio. Up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The jack of all trades here with us on a Monday for his prop perspective. That is Tom Vecchio. Some Olympic basketball conversation, some Major League Baseball games, and prop plays for this Monday ahead of deadline day around MLB tomorrow. Tom Vecchio, we, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here to start off this new week.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, a busy time, not only for the Olympics. Baseball season is getting to the stretch run, and before you know, football season will be here. I'm ready to go.
So, Vecchio, as we look at the odds for the Olympic opener for Team USA yesterday, 110-84 the win. The United States covering is a 13.5-point favorite. The total, 185 and a hook. Skies way over. Vecchio, throughout this Olympic tournament, with men's basketball and Team USA, what is your handicapping approach going to be?
You know, it's been difficult just because, you know, we didn't know what the rotation was going to be, as you guys discussed a couple seconds ago with Tatum not playing. It's also a different rules in terms of the time limit, the overall time of the game. So we have to like look at that in terms of players. Their production rate is not going to be the same. Their usage rate is not going to be the same, because these are all players, generally speaking, that have 25-30% usage rate. So they're not going to be posting these PRAs that are at 50 or 60. They're going to be somewhere in the 30s. So we have to use like the time, the overall time of the game, and just how different international basketball is as a starting point. And then it's kind of just like I want to say a little bit of coach speak. We have to take what we heard. And, you know, Steve Kerr said that he didn't play Tatum, but Tatum's going to play moving forward. So we can use a little bit of that going into the next game.
Taking a look at the game itself, 110-84, an easy victory for Team USA over Serbia. Let me just ask you this question. Forget about the players in the game itself. Team USA as a whole, did that change your opinion at all, as if now when the lights are brightest, Team USA should really shine? Or were you like, you know what? I knew we had a good team, expected an easy victory out of Serbia, and let's see what's ahead.
I think the trust is still there. I think we're looking ahead. Like the first few games, the exhibition games, Team USA has generally started off pretty slow. So they had like those few scares, you know, 1-point game versus South Sudan, like in the exhibition. Like they had those scares. They got those out of the way. Now it's time for like business time is here. So enough of that nonsense. Get down to business. Trust the key players. Get a solid rotation going, and we can move forward, pick up some easy wins, and Team USA comes away with the gold.
-550 now that number on the Americans to win their fifth consecutive gold medal. Canada, a victory over Giannis Antetokounmpo and Greece on Saturday, second best price at +850. Now we transition to the baseball diamond. Two teams that are frankly listed as contenders in the National League, but are they really? It's the Braves and the Brewers today in Milwaukee. The Brew Crew, a 6-game lead on top of the National League Central. Atlanta, the top spot in the NL wild card race. A virtual pick'em in Milwaukee. The Brewers, a slight home favorite at -116. Total is 8.5. Vecchio, how do you break down this matchup in Milwaukee?
I'm starting off straight with under 8.5. You know, both pitchers, Ray and Holmes, are pretty average overall, but we've talked about it before. The offenses, really, from the Braves side, just completely lacking. The injuries are piling up. Christian Yelich is now out for the Brewers. I just don't trust these offenses enough to put up enough runs. Like, when we're looking at the Braves lineup, it used to be an awesome lineup, top to bottom. Now, with the injuries that they dealt with, you know, Riley and Olsen can't carry that offense on a nightly basis. And here, Adames and Contreras are great on the other side. But after that, I'm not worried about too many of these hitters. So I say we side with the under to start the week. It may not be the most exciting thing, but it's probably the route to go today.
We take a look at the NL odds right now to win the pennant. The Dodgers at a +165 price. The Phillies at a 2-1 price. Then we have the Braves and the Brewers, +550 on the Braves and a 12-1 price on the Brewers. If I were to give you a free bet today, Tom, down the stretch, who would it be on, the Atlanta Braves or the Milwaukee Brewers at those two price points?
At this point, it might have to be the Brewers, just because I think they'll be healthier when it's all said and done. I don't like the pitching that they have up front. If Max Fried comes back healthy and it's Fried and Sale, that's a different story. I think that's probably the safest route to go. But, you know, we're not there yet. Like, we don't know if Fried comes back, how healthy he'll be, et cetera, et cetera. The lineups, we could say that they're all equal. The Padres, I think they're a fine number. The long shot would be the Giants. I know it seems a bit out of left field, but I've always talked about pitching. If Snell and Webb can be there, I think they're as good of a 1-2 combo as we can get outside of getting to Wheeler and Nola. So that would be the super, super long shot to go for the NL.
They're only two games below 500, that being San Francisco. They're only 3.5 games out of a wild card spot. It's not the craziest thing. They could turn it on over the final 2 months of this regular season. A historic Dave Vecchio in Major League Baseball. Anytime Paul Skeens gets a start, it is Skeens Day number 13 in the history of MLB tonight in Houston. We have looked at the odds. The Buccos are a road favorite. Now to Skeens himself. What continues to baffle me a little bit, Vecchio, is the K prop for Paul Skeens. 7.5 is the number. The over has plus money. He has recorded at least 8 strikeouts in 8 of his prior 9 starts. So how do you approach Paul Skeens in that strikeout prop?
It's been tough with him because the numbers are super high. Sometimes they're juiced. Unlike today, we actually have plus money on the over. The Astros are actually really disciplined at the plate versus righties. So that is taking into account. So my take for this is, I've said this before for many years with you guys about NBA players, whether it's Luka, whether it's Antetokounmpo, whatever it is, I don't take unders on some of those players. Sometimes you either take the over or you stay away. And I think that is where Skeens is really approaching, where it's like, he could put up 10 strikeouts in 6 innings. I'm not going to take the under on Paul Skeens, but I don't necessarily love the matchup in order to lay money on the over. So sometimes it's just a stay away, and I think that's what we have today.
Let's get to Philadelphia, Tom. You take a look at the New York Yankees and the Philadelphia Phillies about to get underway with a 3-game set. Heel versus Wheeler on the mound. FanDuel Sportsbook overnight opened this price point at a minus 154 price. It currently sits at the Phillies at a minus 142 price and a total of 9. What are your expectations for this series? And more importantly, who wins tonight?
I think the Phillies win tonight. I think that's going to be super straightforward. Yankees coming off like an emotional series win against the Red Sox, struggling going into that series. They blow a game. They come away with these 2 wins. I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see a dominant Phillies win. They're also coming off a bit of a, I don't want to say a bad loss, but it's a game that they had in control yesterday. I think we're going to see an awesome game from Zach Wheeler. Over 6.5 strikeouts for him today, sitting at minus 138. He comes with a 27% strikeout rate this season. He's been awesome. He's been over this mark in 3 straight games since the start of July. I think this is just a take care of business game for the Phillies. They're at home. I would lay it on the money line with them. I think that's certainly fine. I think this is a start to finish Phillies game. Yankees late game last night after Sunday night baseball game against the Red Sox. Bad series against the Mets. A little bit of regression is coming from their offense today and over the next few days.
10-4, the record for Zach Wheeler, a 2.50 ERA, now a co-favorite to win the National League Cy Young Award alongside Chris Sale, plus 150. Those two have kind of jockeyed position for that true frontrunner in the NL Cy Young race, with young Paul Skeens at plus 370, not all that far behind. Vecchio, as you look at the World Series odds, the order really remains. The Astros have seen their price shorten over the last 2.5 weeks or so. I'm not going to ask you your best bet. I'm going to phrase it like this. Ahead of the MLB trade deadline tomorrow, whose World Series number do you think drastically shortens in the next month of regular season action?
If the Orioles can make a big splash, I think they'll be up there with one of the favorites. We know they have a tremendous amount of prospects that they have. Are they willing to deal them? That is the question. Will they be able to move from plus 600 to plus 400? Will that number change if they are willing to move some of these prospects and get another big name pitcher? That's where I want to go. I also like taking the Orioles versus the Phillies direct matchup at 11-1 for the World Series. It's not picking a winner. It's just picking the finalists. So Orioles versus Phillies, little East Coast battle in the World Series this year.
Let's show those top props on this Monday. Drew Holiday under 3.5 boards. Vecchio for the second game on Wednesday afternoon against South Sudan.
Yeah, I think he's going to hit under on that. I think his defensive prowess is going to be more needed in the following game versus Puerto Rico, and they'll get Halliburton, who also didn't play any minutes in that last game, alongside Tatum. Sure. So we'll see a rotation change. We'll see Halliburton out there more of a guard position along with Tatum. I also like O'Neal Cruz. Didn't touch on that for the Pirates game, but not worried about Jake Boss, who's on the mound for the Astros. We'll just take Cruz 2+ throw bases at plus 100.
Love the look, Vecchio. The prop perspective on this Monday. By the way, the United States 3.5-point favorite against South Sudan on Wednesday afternoon. A team that only lost to the Americans by 1 in the exhibition. Vecchio, thank you. More baseball breakdowns next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A matchup in Milwaukee between two National League postseason teams, at least as of this moment. But what is the ceiling in Milwaukee and for that in Atlanta? Minus 116, the number for the Brew Crew as a slight home favorite today against the Braves. Total at 8.5. As we broke down the game with Tom Vecchio, DRS, he said he liked the under. How could you knock it against this ATL side? They're the only team in Major League Baseball that has played more than 60% of their games to an under this season. 61.4% is the under percentage for Atlanta.
Yeah, unless you're just being a contrarian, the only way you can really look is towards the under. By the way, Grant Holmes, starting pitcher for the Atlanta Braves tonight, one of the better profile pitchers that I've seen this season. Now, having said that, he's going up against a roster that maybe Willie Adames, Reese Hoskins, the only two positive batters, maybe Jackson Chourio. Not a lot to love there. Yeah, I like that picture. If we could probably post that up a little bit.
Hold on. We need that.
Yeah.
Friezo, Jesse, get on it. Grant Holmes, the hair, the stash, the handlebar.
Yeah.
And soon, I'm sure, Kevin Walsh's face on that body as well.
Let's
make sure we get Grant Holmes on display for all the nation to see here on the Spiz Grizz. DRS, continue the breakdown, please.
Yeah, and also the Atlanta side. Maybe a little bit better, actually, approach at the plate than what we have on the opposite side. Riley Ozuna, Duval, Rosario, and Murphy, all high ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching. But having said that, Colin Wright's been pretty good this season, and it's the Atlanta Braves. It just screams these two teams playing to an under today. Probably as simple as you can get.
Yeah, I would have to agree with it. Great American Small Park, might we see an under there? 9.5 the total in Cincinnati. It's the Cubs and the Reds in a virtual pick'em. Again, Chicago, a fascinating team as of this moment, DRS. It's the bottom two teams in the NL Central, 51-56 for the Cubs, 50-55 for Cincinnati, both 10 games back of the top spot. That is Milwaukee. But the Cubbies made some moves this weekend. Esoc Paredes yesterday in the trade. What exactly does Chicago do this week ahead of the deadline?
Man, I'll tell you right now, you take a look at the pitchers on this card, last 60 days, minimum of 20 innings pitched. There's 23 total pitchers. You know who's 11 and 12? That's Spires and Tyone, a 96 xFIP minus and a 97 xFIP minus. Now, Spires does have a slightly higher ERA over the past 60 days. And if we're taking a look at some of those non-analytical numbers, Spires on the mound, ISO power number through his last 68 batters, 277. Weighted on base percentage, 359. That's not very good. Flip it over on the other side here to the Chicago Cubs, starting pitcher Jameson Taillon. That ISO power number of the past 30 days, Ben, a 110. A weighted on base percentage, a 247. Now, looking at the lineups and how they go toe-to-toe, obviously the Reds have a better hitting lineup, as it appears, than you take a look at the Chicago Cubs. But if I'm doing one thing in this game, it's probably going to be Ian Happ to record an RBI. He's been very good against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. He'll bat as a lefty, which, again, lefties have done primarily the damage against Spires. So for anything in this game that I really like, it's probably Happ to record an RBI for the Chicago Cubs.
The Boston Red Sox, the Seattle Mariners, two teams right now trying to get a wild card spot. Seattle, of course, tied for the top spot in the American League West with Houston. Inside Fenway today, the Red Sox lost this weekend set against the New York Yankees and the finale yesterday. Boston, since the All-Star break, just 2-7. The Mariners coming off a sweep of the Chicago White Sox. Good, it's what you should do. But the M's did lose 8 of their previous 9 entering this weekend against the Southsiders. 8.5 the total today in Fenway. What's your play?
Seems like a low number, doesn't it, for Fenway? Wind blowing out 5 miles an hour, which, again, not really a significance there. Temperatures in the low 70s, so you're getting a good night. And also, that Boston lineup, 1-6, Dominic Smith, Tyler O'Neill, Devers, Yoshida, Abreu, and Duran, all elevated weighted on base percentages and, for the most part, ISO power numbers. But Logan Gilbert comes into this game fourth on the card with a 78 xFIP minus and an ERA over the past 60 days of 2.37. Nick Pivetta hasn't really been much worse, an 81 xFIP minus, even though his ERA is hovering around that 4.7 range. But if I'm just going pitcher to pitcher, I do trust Gilbert a little bit more. And so many times you would take a look at, as I just said, the Boston Red Sox lineup looks much better on paper. But the Mariners, who typically come in from a day-to-day performance, like, man, who could even take in this lineup? Get this, their first six batters, Robles, Arozarena, Rowley, Polanco, Haniger, and Vossler, all elevated ISO and weighted on base percentages here. I think I have the slightly better pitcher on Seattle. I'll take that slightly dog price also on the Mariners tonight to try to beat the Boston Red Sox.
I will say it does very much intrigue me to see Seattle with their all-star Logan Gilbert as a slight underdog against a struggling Boston team. How about this for Jack Flaherty? Gets the start today in the Motor City against the Guardians. It will be his fourth start in the month of July, three of the four against the divisional foe. That is Cleveland. He and Detroit have won one of the previous two. They've split those two. So is this Flaherty's final start as a member of the Tigers? They are a slight home underdog in the Motor City against the Guardians, who have the best record in the American League Central, the best record in the American League.
Now, Flaherty's really on the trade deadline, Ben. He's not pitching tonight. Let's just be honest with ourselves. There's no team that's going to be like, hey, let's wait out an eight-inning, you know, 104-pitch effort where he might get injured as I try to make a trade for him. So I doubt he actually starts if he is getting traded. But if you are looking at some of the numbers here, Bibee has a 78 xFIP minus, and then you take a look here on the opposite side, you know, you're still getting some pretty good efforts here out of Flaherty. He's got a 77 xFIP minus. So you have two good pitchers on the mound tonight against two teams that – sort of struggling at the plate, if you will. I lean towards the under, but being honest, if you're trying to get ahead of the curve and you see what's the price point that you said was the, what was the that graphic that popped up? What's the
minus
number that we're going off there?
Cleveland's a favorite.
So like Cleveland, if you want to take a look tonight, if you like Cleveland, bet them right now because you'll get that price point locked in. So even if there is a pitching change that goes to a spot reliever in a bullpen game, you have a major advantage at that point here. That's the way I would play it out. But once again, just a thought process on if somebody's going to trade for Flaherty, he's not starting tonight.
It's a good look, DRS. Oh, and there we go. There's our guy, Grant Holmes. Woo. Look at that.
Man.
That's beautiful. Do we have the Kevin Walsh Photoshop up already or no?
Wow. Oh, wow.
Okay, we'll have that for tomorrow, depending on Grant Holmes' performance tonight in Milwaukee. Oof. I mean, look at that lechuga. A curly, long-haired man like that, the handlebar mustache. Might have to wager on
Garnier
Graves tonight.
Teeth, baby. No doubt.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is Donnie Wrightside put in his hair?
Garnier Fructis, man. That's why I said it. Like great hairs. You know what I mean? Come on now. Doing both of that
I'm
stuff,
sure
man.
That will lead off the money line starting in just a moment on Sports Grid Radio. DRS talk tomorrow. A football focus next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A football focus to round out Monday's edition of the Early Line Live right here on SportsGrid. It was a big weekend of big money for the quarterback position. Jordan Love, four-year, $220 million extension with Green Bay. $55 mil per year ties the highest paid contract and the richest quarterback contract in the history of the National Football League alongside Trevor Lawrence, who got his extension earlier this offseason in Jacksonville, and Joe Burrow, both at $55 million per year. Joey B, of course, signing that new extension last offseason. Tua Tagovailoa, $53.1 million. A four-year deal worth $212.4 million. Tua now, one of the five highest-paid quarterbacks in the history of the National Football League, of course. That is the current landscape as well. Jared Goff, a $53 million deal inked earlier this offseason with Detroit. So look at the top five. Decide who you believe has the most accomplished resume. I would argue, of course, that is Joe Burrow. A Super Bowl appearance, two AFC Championship game appearances as well. In fact, there are eight quarterbacks currently in the National Football League, a part of the $50 million club. All eight of those quarterbacks have signed their extension either this offseason or last offseason. For this offseason, that's now Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, and Trevor Lawrence. For last offseason, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, and Jalen Hurts. Eight quarterbacks, again, make $50 million or more. Jalen Hurts, $51 million per year. Lamar Jackson, $52 million per year. Justin Herbert, $52.5 million per year. That rounds out the eight and the five that we showed you there on that graphic. Lamar Jackson at least has the individual hardware, that being two MVP awards in his 6 years in the National Football League. As we continue to go around the NFL, you will see a lot of the conversation. Does the money match performance? Does the money match pedigree? Or is the money only projection and promise and prospect? It's hard to really have both of those things live in harmony in our minds. Patrick Mahomes is no longer a top 10 richest quarterback in the National Football League. He is not one of the 10 highest paid QBs in the National Football League. Let that sink in. Patrick Mahomes is not in need of any money. He makes about $45 million per year. But Patrick Mahomes, who at this moment has by far the most illustrious resume in the National Football League, is not even compensated as one of the 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the National Football League. So no, the money is not about production. The money is not about Lombardi trophies. It is about where the salary cap is and where you are hopeful to be in years to come. Rich Eisen, of course, who does great work for the NFL Network, has been a host at the NFL Network covering the National Football League for many years, had this tweet on Friday night after Jordan Love signed that record-tying deal. The combined playoff record of the 8 quarterbacks who make more than $50 million per year, 16 and 17, only 3 Super Bowl appearances among this group. 3 of them, Jared Goff being one, Joe Burrow another, and of course, Jalen Hurts. Lombardi trophies, 0. Rich Eisen had the final part of this saying, paying and hoping. And he's correct. The quarterback deals that we see, given where the salary cap has inflated to in the National Football League, is not based on past performance. It is future projection. And again, it is hard to ratify in our mind. Jordan Love had 9 good games, and he's now the highest paid player in the history of the National Football League. Trevor Lawrence hasn't really done anything in his NFL career. In what world is Tua Tagovailoa the 4th highest paid quarterback in the National Football League? It's not about that. It's about the market and where the money is right now. It is not about resetting the landscape. It is meeting the landscape. It is matching that monetary and financial investment. And you have to do it now because one thing is consistent in the National Football League year over year, a salary cap that expands. We are going to see record-setting deal after record-setting deal until something changes, and it does not seem anything is going to change in terms of quarterback money from here on out. But it's about projection. It's paying for your hopeful franchise down the road, not about previous performance. That does it for this Monday on the Early Line. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern time on a Tuesday. Talk to you then.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.